If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to, or your phones, whatever you got there, and follow along with me as I read chapter 14 of Romans. Whoops, if I can get situated here. And I'm reading in the NLT. Accept other believers who are weak in faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't, and those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holier than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whatever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die to ourselves. I highlighted that. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and I am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone from whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. And in a other version, King James Version, it says, "If whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So we should be convinced that what we're doing is okay. And then we have seven verses in chapter 15. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. And that's so important. You should highlight that. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scripture says, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as it is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Now, I believe that these are very, very practical scriptures. And if we as believers are endeavoring to be led by the Spirit of God, we are going to behave and act how the Lord would have us to. And if we kind of get off track a little bit, this is life now. When you get off track a little bit and you start doing what you're not supposed to do, the Holy Spirit will convict us. Has anybody ever had that happen to you? I should see every hand. Larry's got two up. Amen. All of us have. We've been convicted of our behavior, of our words, you know, and God wants us to be at peace with one another, and we should look different than the worldly people do. We shouldn't be acting like them. So the first question that we have here is, what do you think is the heart of the Father in this passage? And I'm going to turn it over to Gabrielle. You want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. Unless you want to go first, babe. Okay. I think the heart of the Father here, and I haven't had a lot of time to sit down and really exegete the passage like I'd like to, but I think the heart of the Father here is really telling us, when I read, I see pictures, and so I see myself in my garden, and I see God saying, stay in your garden. Don't go peeking over the fence to the next door neighbor's garden and judging how their weeds are growing, because when you turn around, you'll have weeds of your own. And so I feel like the Father saying, his heart is saying, don't be looking at someone else. It's kind of like the thing in Matthew. Don't point out the speck in someone else's eye when you have wood in your own. You know, you need to be tending to yourself in the way that I trust that I'm going to tend to them the way I tend to you. And so, I don't know, I when I'm reading this and I was looking through the questions, I was thinking about when I first gave my heart to Jesus. And I don't know about anybody else out there, but when I first gave my heart to Jesus, I just wasn't perfect automatically. I had habits like foul language and looking at pornography and all these things that didn't just go away because that moment I gave my heart to Jesus. In fact, I'm pretty sure the very next day I stubbed my toe and said a word I shouldn't say, you know. And so if I don't want to be judged in my process, I probably shouldn't judge other people in their process. And it doesn't omit, God's not saying don't help others, because there's room for help, but help when invitation is brought in. It's different if someone comes to you while you're in your garden and goes, hey, I see you're tending to these weeds, and I've got weeds like that. How are you doing it? Then you have that invitation to go in and go, well, this is what the Father shows me. But don't go over there and just stomp around in their garden and pull out weeds, because you have no idea what damage you may do in the process.
Yeah, that was good. You have a foul mouth, babe? No, just kidding.
Not anymore.
I'm just kidding. So just some context of this scripture. He's talking about believers, how believers treat other believers. It's not about like how you treat the people who don't know God altogether. He's talking about how do you treat your fellow Christian. You know, and the Bible said the world will know us by our love. And too often they know us more about how we can eat our own, you know, eat our own and eat our young. And we just destroy each other and wreck each other over the smallest things. And I think the Father's heart in here is just saying, let me be God. So the same Holy Spirit in you is in them. And Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. So if they're doing something they shouldn't do, or they're doing something, and now if a fellow believer is outright sinning, well, yeah, the Bible gives us instruction on how to handle that. But this is about like almost petty stuff that we get caught up on. You know, churches split for stuff like this all the time. So I think he's saying, let me be the Father. I'm the Father. It makes me think of my son Josiah is 7, and he plays with his cousin Judah all the time. And there's an age difference because Judah's 3. So all the time Josiah thinks that he's the parent. And he is like, you don't do that. You don't get to play with that, and that's okay. Like he talks to him like he's a grown-up.
Don't ask me again or the answer will be no.
He said that today to him. So it's like, I'm the parent. Let me be the parent. I'll handle as I see fit. And so I feel like all too often we get caught up in that. Well, what are you eating? Well, we can't eat that. You know, the petty things like that, you know.
Oh, can I say something else? Sorry. I think it makes me think of a story. And I like how it says in there, if you consider it wrong, then it's sin for you. And so if we're talking about petty things, I remember growing up, this church that I went to as a teenager, there was a lady who taught our Sunday school class. This is back when we had Sunday school. I'm old. So we had this new person come in, and he'd never been to church before, and he was wearing a hat. And some people feel like it's wrong to wear hats in the church. In God's house. I remember things like don't run in God's house was told to me a lot growing up. Don't wear hats, you know, don't wear shorts on Sundays. Don't go barefoot. There were things because there were people that was what they did and that's what they were taught. And so for them, it was wrong. And I remember this, she was a very elderly lady and she was very sweet and she taught our Sunday school class, but she looked at this boy and said, I'm going to have to ask you before we start and before we pray to take your hat off. And he looked up and he said very nicely, oh, I don't want to take my hat off. And his face got red and she said, young man, you're going to have to take your hat off. And I remember him going, oh, I just can't. I can't take my hat off. I have bed head. I didn't get to shower this morning. And she looked at him and said, young man, you're going to have to take your hat off or you're going to have to leave. And I remember him looking around really embarrassed and said, well, I guess I'm going to have to leave. And he walked out the door and I never saw him again. And I remember thinking, that's so petty. Like, why is it wrong to wear a hat? And for her, it was wrong. So for her, it was sin. And I get that. But she put that on him. And he was just saying, you know, we eat our young. We're known for that. We eat our young. And so we put all these rules on people. And I understand if you're the parent. Don't run. I don't want my kid to run because I don't want him to bump into you and make you spill your coffee and then we have a predicament, you know? But for someone else to say to him, don't wear a hat and doesn't know his background or his story, and then they're saying, because you're in the house of God, well, now you're in his garden telling him where the plants should go. And that's what I think of. I think about how we can be so petty in that way. And God was like, don't be petty. Scott says this to me all the time. He said, ooh, in Petalations chapter 3. Like, when someone's being petty, he'll be like, where is that in Petalations? Like,
Second Petalations 24/7.
And I just think that's what God's saying is like, don't look at the outward. It's kind of like when he talked about to the Pharisees. A lot of the stuff he taught to people who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders. And he told them, don't wash the outside of the cup and then drink when the inside's still dirty, but instead wash the inside of the cup and then the outside becomes clean. And so he was saying, focus on your heart and then the things you want on the outside to change will change. And I think there's so many times we look at people in the church and we're like, they've been coming here for a year and they still do that? They think that way? They believe that? How can they not believe that God heals all people? Or how can they not be free in their worship? We judge people based off their worship. And God's going, don't deal with that. Let me wash the inside of their cup, and then you'll see something change on the outside.
I think one of the real good points you're saying there is our convictions. Every single one of us in here have convictions. And depending on how much of the Word of God we have in us, if we're diligently in the Scriptures and we're there every day, like the Lord wants us to be, we're definitely going to have different convictions than somebody who comes to church on Sunday and they haven't looked at the Bible at all throughout the week. Now, I'm not judging that person, because that person, at some point along the line, they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, but they've let things down. And so they're not going to get it the same as somebody who is diligently in the Word of God. But the whole key here, I believe the whole key to these scriptures here is the unity of the body of Christ. I believe that's one thing Jesus spoke about, and he said, I want to see unity in the body of Christ. So if somebody's got this, and I'm just trying to make up a illustration here, if somebody's got this quirky thing about them, you know, maybe they say something or do something, or maybe the way they worship or something, and it irritates you. Why do they do that? And I'm sure that, at least in my own life, because I've been in church for a lot of years, I'm sure that's happened to me. And the Holy Spirit would have to convict me and say, that person is worshiping me. And really, when it comes right down to it, I'm not worshiping him when I'm pointing out what I consider a fault of somebody else. And he uses some really good words here in the scriptures. In verse 18, I believe it is. No, 13. He says this. So let's stop condemning each other. Now, I don't think he'd have to say that if it wasn't actually happening. They're condemning one another. We are all different here. We have different likes, dislikes, different personalities, different actions, different ways. We are a body of believers that are unique in their own way. And maybe the ones that sit over here don't like the people that sit over here. You know, that's happened many a times in churches. Because you won't sit over here, you know, you don't like us. Maybe it's the way we worship or something. And believe me, that happens. But he says here in his scripture, God is warning us. And I really like to believe, and I do believe, that we are a growing church. We have all these problems in this church. But God is ministering to us. Tonight he's ministering to us. He's showing us in his word. So he says here, so stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So that can be you trying to tell him that he should be doing what you do, because what you're doing is not right. That's not our job to do that. Whose job is it? Come on, speak up. Whose job is it to do that? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Or God, I mean, through his Holy Spirit. It's his job to do that. So stop and think about it to yourself, because we've all went through this. God wants us to conduct ourselves and behave ourselves in such a manner, especially in the church, as Jesus does. Do you know that he wants you to be just like Jesus? Do you believe that? He wants you to be just like Jesus. He wants the same power, the same authority, the same love, the same grace. He wants all of those attributes that Christ had coming out of us. So we got to work at that, don't we? Because we're not there. So we keep working at that. That's why we read the scriptures. That's how the Lord helps us. And the next time we see ourselves complaining about something, the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart. And then we say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have that kind of attitude. That's what we have to do. When we are doing something that we shouldn't do, and the Holy Spirit reveals that to us, we need to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I don't want to act like that. You mentioned about swearing, Gabrielle. I worked at Prestolite when I got saved. And anybody who works in a factory, I can just imagine what it's like today, you know. But back then, you know, you just said whatever you felt like saying. You said every cuss word you could think of, didn't think anything of it. That was just natural conversation. And then I remember after I got saved, I'd only been a Christian for less than a week. And this one guy came up to me, and I just filled out my time card, and he said, what's that? Blankety blank. And I said, what blankety blank? And I said those words. And I want to tell you, the conviction of the Lord came upon me. Because I had the joy of the Lord, and I had all kinds of zeal for God. I just got saved. And those words came out of me. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I mean, almost instantly, I said, I don't want to talk like that anymore. I don't want those words coming out of me. And then I learned a scripture where he says, don't use harmful words. Use words that are going to build up and edify. And that's what I wanted to do. But the Holy Spirit convicted me, and immediately I repented. It happened a couple of more times after that. And I've always said when I was teaching Sunday school, again, going back to Sunday school, and Kenny Kraft will roll over in his grave because I must have said it 500 times. I said, I can count on one hand, and this is absolutely nothing to do with me other than the fact that I want to serve God because I couldn't do it. But I can count on one hand the times I've said a swear word since I've been saved 49 years ago. That's pretty amazing, I know, but that's God, because my heart didn't want to talk like that anymore. And I can remember at work when I first went to Toledo, and our job moved, and I had to go to Toledo there. So I had a whole different group of guys, and they're just and I wasn't talking about Jesus unless God gave me an opportunity one-on-one. But I wasn't going around the shop saying you need Jesus and all this stuff. And one of the guys there that I was working with came up to me, and he said, "You ever swear?" And I said, no, I don't. And he said, you never swear? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, I don't believe that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. His name was Ben. I said, I'll tell you what you do, Ben. Just keep listening. And you're going to find out that I don't ever swear. And that's only the power of the Holy Spirit. I do not have that within my own self, the ability to be able to do that. But through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing that God did. So he wants to change us. He wants to change us from wherever you are right now. He wants to change me. He wants to continue to change me. And so this Bill, is how it happens.
Bill, can I make a comment on what you said?
Okay, yeah, I better.
You were talking
somebody
about...
Somebody got to cut me off. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. No. I was something that my mom always said to me growing up, which I find myself saying now, I'm becoming my mother, but you were saying how you said those words and the conviction of the Holy Spirit came over you. And I remember my parents didn't let me complain growing up about my siblings or people in the church who treated me badly, and they still won't. If there's ever an issue, they always make me talk to Jesus. But one thing that they would always say is my mom would say to me, Gabrielle, your words will change nothing. But Holy Spirit's words change everything. And so what's the point? Because you going over and pointing out to them what's wrong won't do anything. Only Holy Spirit will. And I found that true in myself, how you were saying it convicted you. It's different when Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, why are you doing that? But then, you know, I remember my mom used to tell me all the time growing up things not to do. But then when Holy Spirit told me not to do it, it was different. It was different when he spoke to me. And something else she would say to me is, when you get to heaven, is Jesus going to ask you what they did? And I would get so mad and go, no. And she'd go, what's he going to ask, Gabrielle? How I handled it? Yep. What else is he going to ask? What I did? Yep. So should you focus on them? No. Okay. And then she'd follow up, your words change nothing. Holy Spirit's words change everything. And so it just made me think of that when you said that. And that's such wise advice. She's pretty wise, so. But, yeah.
That is so true. What we say to one another may not mean a whole lot, but if the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we better be listening to that. If we want to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And, you know, especially this group here. You guys are here on Wednesday night. It's a beautiful day out there now, and you chose to come here. And we should gather together every opportunity we have to fellowship with one another, because you guys are going to have a chance to say something too, as long as I don't get too long-winded here. We'll get it out there. But I want to finish up what, again, talking about the heart of the Father. In verse 19, it says, so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build up each other. So we're aiming for harmony. That's what we want. We want harmony. We want unity here. And we want to build up the other person. Now, a lot of times, and we've all run into this, and I'm just trying to be as practical as can be right now, is sometimes somebody will do something stupid, and it might have been us, you know, but I'm just saying something off the wall, and we're looking at it and say, what in the world is that, you know? Why did they say that? Or maybe they said something negative or what you consider bad to you, you know. What do you do with that? You know, in light of trying to keep harmony in here, and I'll tell you one thing that has helped me tremendously, is when I recognize that somebody's in the flesh and they're saying something that they shouldn't say, I immediately recognize that that's not their spirit that's talking to me. In other words, the person I know is not talking to me now. And I know I've been on the other end of this illustration here, where I've said things that I shouldn't say, and people were very gracious and graceful to me, and I thank God for that. And I know that the only way that I'm going to do that negative bad thing or say something I shouldn't say or cop an attitude or whatever it may be, I know why that happens to me. Because I allow the flesh to rise up, and then who's there looking at me? The enemy is right there. So when I see other people that are going through frustration and anxiety and problems and saying things and doing things that are just off the wall, I look at that and I say, they're struggling right now. I'm not going to beat them up. And we shouldn't be beating up one another. We should be trying to figure out how we can be graceful to them and speak a good word to them. And I try to do that with all of you. Whenever I'm talking, no matter who it is, you know, I'm trying to build you up and bring harmony to the body of Christ. There's a couple more verses I want to get here, and then, Scott, I'm going to let you say something again. So I'll be thinking about it. Verse 23, but if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. And so that's, again, where we have to listen to our convictions. And when we do that, then we're not going to sin if we listen to our convictions. And again, not only our convictions, but the Holy Spirit will jump in there. And if we will listen to him, we're not going to sin. We won't do it. If there's any question about it, I'm not going to do it. And I know I've had that come up many, many times in my Christian walk. And then the last verse I want to read here is in Romans 15:5. He said, may God, who gives this patient and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. So he is praying to God that he will give us patience and encouragement to help us live in complete harmony. This should be the most loving place that you go to throughout the week, is with the body of believers. I know, I love it. I love you guys. I love talking to you. I love being here. It strengthens me. It helps me. It encourages me. It prods me on, you know, to do more for the Lord, you know. And when I do that, I'm more blessed. So I believe that this is the heart of the Father in these scriptures here, is that we be in unity, we be in harmony, and our ears are open to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and not our feelings and what our flesh would tell us, because we see something that's negative. Okay, Scott, you got anything else?
Well, I think if we are called to be disciples, then my relationship with you should be, I should do things that would help you grow, not to help you stumble. So sometimes Holy Spirit convicts me for things that he may not convict you, or, you know, I may struggle with something that you don't even blink an eye at, you know. But that's where Holy Spirit's job is to do that. But if I'm, when it comes to discipling you, I shouldn't nitpick at the things that you do. Let Holy Spirit convict you in those areas. And then, you know, but if something I do, like I know would cause you to stumble, well, then that's on me, because I'm responsible to kind of help you grow and to do things that would not counter that growth, but encourage that growth.
And I think we need to be thinking about that and considering that, you know, when we are fellowshipping with one another here in the church, because those things are going to happen here. You know, it is going to in anybody. And so I'm going to move on to the next question now. I was going to turn it over to you guys first, but I think I better get this second question in first, and then I'll turn it over to the congregation. So you'd be thinking about your comments here on these scriptures, Romans 14 and 15. My runner's getting ready. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys again, Scott and Gabrielle, how does this passage impact your relationship with other believers? I mean, we've said a lot here, but go ahead and make a...
You can go first.
Well, it really challenges me in my love for people. So Corinthians 13, you know, it's the love chapter. It talks about what love is. Love is patient, love is kind. But it also talks about what love isn't. You know, love doesn't provoke. It's not puffed up. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't seek its own interest. So it's challenging as far as that goes, is to look at my relationship and the people that are around me, and am I loving in every situation? Am I being that voice of love and that encouragement? Am I being God to them? You know. So that's for me, as far as relationships go, like, it's just challenging to be more love in every situation.
Yeah, that's good. I think, you know, we could all say that it challenges us for sure in love, and that's one thing I could say. And another is it challenges me to listen to the voice of Holy Spirit. Because when I want to go into, you know, my prayer closet, or when I'm in the secret place, and I'm talking to Holy Spirit, and I want to complain about how someone's treated me, or I want to, you know, brush off issues that I feel like bother me, it challenges me to hear his heart and what he has to say about those people. And Holy Spirit never complains to me about any of you. He never complains to me about any fellow believer that I know anywhere. His heart is always for you. And if I'm supposed to be like him, then it challenges me to be for people. And so when anybody comes to me and has a complaint, then it's my job to step up and go, you know, I wonder what's going on with them. I wonder what's happening in their life. I wonder what they're going through. Or to be for them and say, well, you know, you should go talk with them, because I bet if you knew what was happening with them, it would change your perspective. And I've learned that if I... No, and we've said this before in staff, if we know each other's story, then it changes our perspective of what's going on with somebody. And so someone who works with me, and this is a physical example, may not know that I struggle with my eyesight. And so in the church, I've had this happen. Someone's like, well, she doesn't say hey to me. Well, she doesn't make eye contact. They don't know. And so I can't be mad at them for not knowing. But then when they also know and they find out, oh, she can't see. It changes your perspective. And then you realize, well, they're not mean. She's not mean. She can't see me. Let me approach her first. And I think that's a really good example to take, is that we assume, well, they're mean. Well, they don't want to hang out with me. Well, they're too busy. Well, they're this. But then when we get to know that person, we realize, oh, they're none of these things. They just deal with this. They go through this. They have this on their plate. And it challenges us then to help, to go up and approach them, to be Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Amen. Not be Holy Spirit, but be Jesus.
Amen. The greatest gift that God gave us and the greatest commandment, what is it? What's the greatest commandment? Come on, group, speak up. Nobody knows.
They're saying it, Bill.
Huh?
They're saying it, Bill.
Oh, y'all saying it. I just can't hear you. Love God with all your heart, right? The second's like unto the first. Is to love your neighbor as yourself. And again, going back to your comment, Scott, about 1 Corinthians 13 talks about what love looks like. That should be our goal. That should be our desire. Again, that really what we could say is 1 Corinthians 13 looks like who? Mainly our teacher, Jesus. It looks like Jesus, doesn't it? Because that's what he was. He loved us so much that he died for us. And that kind of love, that kind of passion is the kind that Jesus wants to cultivate in us. That kind of love and passion for one another. He wants us to get over this little petty stuff and function in his love and in unity and in the power of his Spirit. And I'm telling you right now, if we continue to grow and get more of God in us, we're going to see the mighty hand of God moving in ways that we've never seen him move before. I mean, the reason why a lot of churches can't see the hand of God, there's no power there. They're not seeking God. They're not desiring God's presence. They're not desiring the move of the Holy Spirit. Most churches are scared of the move of the Holy Spirit. But we're not here. The Holy Spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit wants to continually pour into us. So how does this passage impact our relationship with other believers? It should help us to want to grow stronger in all of our relationships. You know, Jimmy over here, you've only been coming here a few years, haven't you? Yeah. And I got fellowshipping with him and talking with him, and we started sharing the Word of God. And it's such a delight to sit down when I know I can come in here and sit down and talk with Jimmy for even if it's only 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And I'm encouraged. I'm uplifted. You guys do that? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to encourage one another. And again, not coming in here negative and, you know, it's a terrible week, you know. And, well, I know the Word of God says praise him in everything, but you know what? I don't really feel like praising God. No, we can do that. And you know what happens when we do that? We are in the flesh, and I'm telling you what, nothing. The Holy Spirit could come in here like a mighty wind and come across, and you're looking at, oh, what's going on now? You know, what's happening now? That's what happens when we're not tuned in and we're not motivated by our commitment and relationship. Got it, Matt. I know I'm starting to preach, but can't help it.
I was about to say, Bill, you're standing
come
up, you're preaching.
Down. Come sit back down.
Sit back down. So anyways, I just so badly, especially, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around here. I'll be 70 pretty soon. You know, you lived to 80. You've done pretty good. I see Bonnie and Ruth over there saying, what are you saying? But I want to see the mighty hand of God in this place. Every Sunday I come here, I want somebody to have a miracle. And we serve a God of miracles. It is so, so good to serve the Lord and to fellowship. Okay, let's go back.
I want to ask, I want us to move on to ask questions, but I wanted to say this about what you were saying, because you were saying, you know, we don't need to come in and be negative, but the beautiful thing, and I think this is what our pastor's hearts really are of this place, is for it to be a safe place. And what creates that safe place is being able to not judge people when they do come in negatively. And so that, and that's what the heart of this passage is it's saying, let this be a safe place for people to come in and be who they are, so that they can grow and change. We want to develop a place of growth and a safe place to be able to come in and be negative. And we're not sitting here going, don't you be negative, but instead encouraging them, it's going to be okay. God's going to see you through this. How can I help you not feel this way this week? How can I pray for you? Because that encouragement is what changes. And so when people are that way, it's being, like you said, being an encourager, which you're so great at, Bill. And so being like that, being someone who can sit down and go, well, it's going to be okay. And what does the scripture have to say is the perfect way to help someone not be negative. And I think the more you point it out, if I'm like, Bill, stop being negative, that makes you grumpy. I'm not being negative, you know?
Yeah.
But if I'm like, oh, Bill, how can I pray with you? There's something that softens that, right?
So. That's the whole key, Gabrielle. That's the whole key of it all, because I can talk about being negative as a group here now. I'm not zeroing in on anybody, but if I do run into that, and if you do run into that, that this is what the Lord has asked us to do. Stay in harmony, encourage that individual. They are where they are, and you guys are where you are. And the Holy Spirit knows where we are, but He does not want us to stay where we are. I don't care where it is, you know, if you're just totally don't got it, you know, but you're coming, God wants to bring you along. And you may be the one that stumbles at somebody else. Well, we want to encourage you. We want to bring you along. Okay, the question was, what do you think is the heart of the Father in this passage? But we've kind of covered both of them, so if anybody's got any comments on what we said here, got one in the back there, Matt.
I was just amused by what Gabrielle said about children running in the church, and There are rules that parents make, and running in church is one of them we don't want them to do. And she said they might run into someone and spill their coffee. Well, we're a little different here. There's coffee, there's hats, we raise our hands, and if a kid runs into you, you could spill your coffee, you could fall down and break an arm so you can't raise it to praise, and you might lose your hat in the process too. So I think probably a lot of us have been in our past in a different church where wearing a hat and drinking coffee and raising your hands in the service, this was one of those things that you get judged for. And get judged right out of the church, especially if you're wearing a hat or drinking a coffee. You know, you can't do that in there. We're a little different here, kind of like the guy with the wet teddy bears. I don't know if you've seen that commercial. We do things a little different here because the Holy Spirit is the one that runs the show. And I really appreciate that about the river. The no judgment zone is just something that really the Holy Spirit leads, and we all benefit from it. So I just want to make that comment.
Amen. Good comment, Larry. Right next to you there, Matt.
I just wanted to say thank you, Gabrielle, for that very simple and direct word from your mother that she told you long ago. The funny thing is, I heard that and went, wow. That's a great idea. And all of a sudden, it's like I could feel and hear the Holy Spirit go, I've been trying to tell you that for a few years, Brian. I just had to hear it from human lips. Thank you.
And she's a pretty smart woman.
Got any more comments here? There you go, Jerry's got one.
Just want to say for those of you who don't know Mr. Forbes or haven't known him for a while, when you see him up there, he's the same way all the time. Whether it's on the golf course, the ball diamond, at a cookout, he's a true blue guy, and who you see up on that stage, is he's that way all the time.
We give God the glory for all of that. Okay, any more comments on this? Okay.
Well, I think this kind of goes along with the Complaining Cure book. I just got it, and I just started reading it. And, boy, I'm learning a lot. And I just want to thank you for what you've been saying tonight, because it goes right along with it, and it's something that I really needed to hear.
Amen. Amen. That would be an excellent book to go along with what we are studying right here, The Complaining Cure. Okay, go ahead.
When we complain, we're affecting others' lives in such a way, instead of showing our love for Jesus. And when they see that, they often wonder in their own minds, where are we any different than the world? So I think that's an important point, that we watch our lives and be the example that Jesus wants us to be.
Got any more comments? Anybody got any, maybe an illustration of what we've been talking about? Well, you had a problem, Christina?
So God has really placed unity on my heart lately, and it like really hurts me to see people on Facebook bashing each other, especially when it comes to like the vaccine. Some people, you know, agree to get the vaccine and some people don't, and that's their decision, and people shouldn't bash them for their decision. It hurts me to see that. And also, while mask isn't really a big thing right now, but when masks were a big thing, it would hurt me to see people bash people about whether they decided to wear a mask or not wear a mask. That's their decision. It shouldn't be, somebody shouldn't put their opinion on somebody's decision, and it just hurts me to see that.
I think, Christina, that is an absolutely excellent illustration here, because we have seen that. And, you know, again, the world's going to do one thing. They're going to, you know, they're going to get on Facebook. Hopefully it's just the world. It's probably not, though. But anyways, you know, they express their opinion, and they're so dominant that if you're not doing what they're doing, then you want to, you know, crawl out of there or something, you know. And I think that's exactly what he's talking about here in these scriptures. He wants harmony and unity. And what are your convictions? That's what these scriptures are about. One is convicted of this, another is convicted of that. You know what? Just let time go on. And as they continue to serve the Lord, if they don't have it right, the Holy Spirit's going to show them that. But we shouldn't be, definitely shouldn't be pointing fingers at one another and making our case for what we're doing, because then we may be hindering the other person's conscience. So we don't want to do that. That's a really, really good illustration there, Christina. Okay, we got any more illustrations?
while the mic runner's running, maybe to the next person, I just wanted to say to that, Christina, I just love that. I think that hits the nail on the head. And I think, too, it can bring back to what's the root of that complaint. And I think oftentimes people complaining can come from fear. On one side afraid if you don't wear the mask or get the vaccine, then you might hurt other people, harm other people, or harm yourself. But then on the flip side, people afraid that you are harming yourself or harming other people by shoving your opinion on them or wearing a mask or getting the vaccine or the silly stuff about it being the mark of the beast. I don't know. Like, it just, it's fear that does that, and which goes back to what Scott was saying, love. You know, it motivates us to love, and the Bible tells us love casts out fear. And so if there's love, there can't be fear. If there's love, there can't be complaining then. And so I just think that I appreciate that illustration.
And again, I believe that whatever people are doing, you know, whether they're doing it or whether they're doing it, they're following their convictions. And that's what this, again, that's what all this scripture is about. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I think a lot of times when we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we start falling for all these distractions, the Facebook and all the bickering about, you know, different stances and you have to do this and do that. Just put your eyes on Jesus. You know, if we're all looking at Jesus, then we won't have issues with each other because we're all looking at Jesus.
So. He said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when we get to carrying on with one another, believe me, that's flesh. And we don't want to do that. We want to do what the Spirit would have us do. Okay, I think we got another one here. Bruce?
So I just wanted to comment on what one of you said about causing others to stumble, especially new believers. When I had graduated from high school, for about 4 summers, I worked out in Oklahoma at Dry Gulch USA as a camp counselor. And before every meeting, or at every meeting that we would have before the kids get there, our director would have us all repeat this phrase, and he said that we all live in a glass house. Everything we say and everything we do will be repeated thousands and thousands of times. And meaning that, you know, these kids are watching us. They're always watching, and they listen, even though you don't think they listen. And it's like, what are you doing as a counselor, as a representative of God to them? I mean, I was just a teenager, just getting ready to be in my 20s, you know, and I didn't know what I know now. But looking back on it, I just see, like, what are some things that I could have done that I could change? Because not that I made anyone stumble, but could I have been a better representative of Christ to those young men? You know, because they were between the ages of 7 and 13. And it's such a crucial time in their lives because they're learning and they're developing and they need to be led by strong men. And they look up to teenagers and they think that we're just so awesome. So, the other thing that our camp director, he would talk about was he would tell us that whenever we're talking to the kids or whenever we're praying with them at night, he said, always remember that let everything you say and everything you do bring glory and honor to Jesus. And so I think looking at that, I need to remind myself that even in now, you know, I'm just a guy in his 30s, but it's like, what influences do I have? Like, on Facebook, that's the ultimate glass house. I mean, anything you post online is going to be repeated and seen and repeated thousands and thousands of times. And are we representing Christ well, or are we just causing other Christians to stumble because of the way that we portray ourselves online? Because I think now it's easy to put on a superficial face when you're in public, but the keyboard warriors out there, I think that's when we see a lot of true personalities come out because they're safe and they don't realize that what are they doing to make other people stumble, especially people that are brand new to their Christian walk.
I think in reference to Facebook, I've heard Pastor Bill say it many times. There's the good side and there's a bad side. And my message to you would be, make sure you stay on the good side. Don't get into any negative junk. If you do, I'm telling you, you're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. And that's what we always want to do. Every single day, we want to be led by the Spirit.